It's Wednesday, July the 12th, and you're tuned in to the TNIB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. It's hot.
Is it?
We're in the middle of the summer.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the anime season was hot.
I have not checked out anything from the anime season.
You're talking about the regular season.
I'm actually talking about the season we are currently living in. The one with the sun out.
It's really fucking hot.
Yeah. It is about, I don't know, like on, today was what, like 30?
31, 32 Celsius? 32,
yeah. In Fahrenheit, that's 200.
That's probably the conversion.
I don't know.
Listen, like, they're the only ones using it.
We'll that's just, true.
It doesn't matter.
Man, why are you guys still in the imperial system?
Fucking wieners.
Yeah, man. I know, like, America's going through, like, getting beat up upon, but honestly, you guys have the imperial system. And yeah, that is the backbone to your weakness right
fucking
now.
Fucking deserve it.
Yeah. Wow. speaking of things that aren't hot, we have new microphones.
We do.
We got mounts.
We got shock mounts. We got windscreens.
Yeah, we got table arms.
Yeah. And we have...
We have XLR cables.
We have a mixer.
And a mixer. However, you're like, but Vince, why can I not tell the audio change?
Audio it sounds quality. The same. That Yeti quality.
Because we still are on the Yeti.
Yeah, hey.
It turns out.
It's okay, Yeti.
Yeah.
We won't leave you.
And I'll never leave the Yeti because I use it all the time for when I do my own recordings for YouTube. But the mixer is broken.
Yeah.
So that was a
We got some hand-me-downs, and we're like, sick. Yeah. Let's fucking use this. And then after about an hour of trying to figure out why this thing is broken, it turns out it's broken.
Yeah. So that's a bit of a bummer, but you win some, you lose some. We'll see how that's going to work out in the future.
We also learned that audio equipment is expensive.
Yeah.
Like the best or the quote-unquote best entry level mixer is still like $100.
I don't know why, but like when I see, like, I occasionally dabble and look into upgrading video capturing equipment.
Oh,
and like it's expensive. Don't do that. But I look at it and I'm like, well, no, you're capturing moving images with sound and visual fidelity. I understand the pricing, but for some reason, the connection for why audio equipment is so expensive, it just doesn't work in my head.
Like, it's just my voice.
Yeah. I just don't understand why it's so expensive. I know, like, there's reasons for it.
Yeah.
But I guess as someone who isn't an audiophile.
Metals.
Yeah. Like, I don't see the value.
So I consider myself not an audiophile, but someone who likes good quality audio. Like, I have 3 sets of headphones for different types of listening.
Wow.
Right? And that's only because I used to work at an electronics store.
Yeah.
But there is eventually a certain price point that you get to where it's like, okay, why?
Yeah.
Because, so, I like the brand Sennheiser for headphones.
Okay.
But their upper tier headphone, like their best of the best, is like $1,600.
Yeah.
Right? And I look at those headphones and I'm like, and I look at the stats, I'm like, okay, it processes a whole bunch of sounds from low to high frequencies, like, that are way past that any human can hear.
Yeah.
A. B, these things are power hungry like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
So you're never going to use them for anything convenient unless it's, like, studio stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, there's eventually a level to where this is probably good, but I'll never be able to hear it.
Yeah.
There are crazy people, though. Let me get you into the world of audiophile vinyl people.
Mm.
So audiophiles who collect vinyl and like play records and stuff, they say that if you have a colored vinyl, something that's not black, it actually sounds worse than the just black version of a record.
And you're telling me like the dye changes?
Because the dye changes the sound.
Oh my God. Oh,
and then also like these are the same people who are buying like $1,000 knobs.
Oh God. For their $10,000 tables?
For their $10,000 tables. Like just a single knob.
Wow.
Right? These people are
You mean out like of control. Like when you say the knob, do you mean like the volume adjust?
I mean the volume adjust.
Oh my God.
These people are crazy. Right? So yeah, there are people out there, like I know why that there's that, But
the knob's made of tungsten? What's going on?
I don't know. It's made out of unobtainium.
Oh my god.
That's where all the adamantium went. It's fucking volume knobs. That's why we don't have Wolverine claws.
That's crazy.
So yeah, there are people who will pay that price, but I don't know. For me, at least.
Yeah.
Expensive. There's a threshold.
Yeah. Anyways, this was just a long-winded excuse and to give you a intro about nothing, because we have no review this week.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I didn't get to see the amazing.
Well, it's not amazing.
The Fantastic? Super?
He's just Spider-Man in this one.
Oh, is he?
Okay. Yeah, it's not the amazing Spider-Man. It's not, I don't know.
Okay.
It's just Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah. Are you going to talk about it this week? Or are you going
to... I don't have to.
No, it's up to you.
I don't need to.
I want to see it eventually.
I watched it. That's, I know you did. I think that's what I can say.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. Because it wasn't bad. It wasn't, you know? It's all right.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this?
Huh?
You told me it was good.
Yeah.
I will watch it
uh-huh.
for next week.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll review it next week.
Okay.
That sound fine with you?
Sure.
Or do you want to talk about it?
Let me put it this way. I'm in no rush to talk about it.
Huh. Okay.
Like, I don't... I honestly have nothing to say about it.
Wow. All right.
And that... So take that as you will.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because everyone else I know that has seen that movie
yeah.
couldn't wait to talk my fucking ear off.
No, I watched it and I'm like... Does it ever a spider can? And then I finished it and I was like, okay, cool.
Okay. No. That's actually... All right. Now I want to have that conversation, so...
All right.
All right. Sounds good.
Cool. Let's talk about what's going on in the past week.
Yeah. I didn't do news last week.
Oh, you
didn't?
Okay.
We can do a couple weeks.
Sure. Do you want to start with a couple weeks ago? Because I only got the stuff from... Fuck it. I'm only talking about Overwatch this week, so whatever. Damn it.
You only ever talk about Overwatch. You said you were going to get off it, Vince.
No, I can't.
Okay. I got a bunch of small ones.
All right.
So first off, let's start on the anime train.
Animu.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo. Pikachu.
Remember Fooly Cooly?
Yeah.
Remember that show you did not like?
That I eventually did like.
That yeah. you eventually did like?
Yeah.
Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Hot purveyor in the
anime adult scene?
In the adult cartoon business.
Oh, my God.
They are... I think they are publishing, or they're funding at least,
yeah.
seasons 2 and 3 of Fooly Cooly.
The anime that never needed
yeah.
another season.
I thought that series was perfect at being whatever, was it 6 episodes?
6.
And it told a complete story.
Yep.
They got the Pillows again to do the soundtrack.
Which is cool.
They have some returning characters. But it seems like they're focusing on different people.
Yeah, and so that's kind of... I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, so, like, just from the trailer or just from the teaser, it's... Because they have a lot of the iconic scenes from the original.
Yeah.
Like, the giant iron building, like, lighting up
yeah.
at the end of the world or whatever. It seems like they're going to take on either... Like, it's either... Okay, there's... I think this has two options. It's either a continuation of where it left off.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's parallel stories. Like, while the main character is doing X, Y, and Z, you see what the other people are up to.
Yep.
Yeah. And also that girl's back with the moped.
With the bike?
With the moped.
In the red?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's that.
Cool.
Keeping on the anime train,
mm-hmm.
Bleach got a live-action trailer.
It did.
It's 20 seconds to look at Ichigo carrying a...
The fat sword.
I will... No. I'll quote someone. He will not be named.
Okay.
But it was a thick sword.
Oh.
It was a thicc sword.
Yeah, man.
Very thick. And I don't know. I talked about this with you already, but this trailer has the problem that I think most live-action anime trailers have.
Yeah.
Which is... You know when robots feel like they look human, but they're just not human?
It's yeah.
the uncanny valley.
Mm.
Like, I swear there's got to be a term for the uncanny valley
mm.
with anime.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like
realistic.
Yeah, it looks like an anime, but it's just not
yeah.
anime. Right? So there's that. You can watch that. Ichigo's got a sword and stuff. And now I'm going to switch to video games.
Wait. There's one more anime announcement.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, because while I was away, it was Anime Expo in America.
Okay.
That's where all these big anime announcements came out. But there's one anime reveal that I'm super pumped for. Do you remember Grid? Do you know who Gridman is?
Didn't he come out in America or something?
A Superhuman Samurai. Yeah. So I love that show.
Yeah, I've never seen that show.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Fuck, man. I don't know if it'll hold up now.
Okay. But it was like even in like the campy sense, like, haha, I'm watching Mighty Morphin again.
Oh, you know, it might, because it's teenagers in a rock band.
That sounds great.
And to get into the digital world, he has to strum a guitar. Digital. Like he has a guitar solo to strum right in. That's how he gets into the digital world. That's his entrance. And like his buddy has like a drum solo to get in. Anyways, it's getting an anime adaptation done by Studio Ghibli. Trigger. Oh. So Trigger, the guys behind Kill la Kill,
and the guys not behind Gurren Lagann.
Yeah, and I think it was like a year or two ago. There was this animated short. It was from one of the animators at Trigger. And they did a Gridman anime. Mm-hmm. I think I showed it to you guys. It was very long, while back.
You might have, yeah.
Yeah, anyways. Yeah, they're making an anime, so that's... I'm pumped to see what's come to that.
I don't know, man. I'll watch anything by Trigger at this point. It's a problem.
Yeah, Luluko, remember? Oh.
Mm! Mm. That was Best Toy 20... Wait, did that come out? Did that toy come out this year or last year?
Last year.
Best Toy 2016.
Wow.
Space Patrol, Luluko, Nendoroid.
I don't know if we didn't have that category. We should include it this year.
You want to have best toy?
Yeah.
Listen, I buy one toy a year.
Yep.
And this year's toy is those Space Channel 5 Figmas. Okay, I'm going to switch over to video games.
Hit me.
Let's hit them up. So Cuphead is a game I feel has fucking been taking for fucking ever to come out.
Yeah.
It got a release date at E3, but it has been confirmed that that Cuphead will not be coming to PlayStation. In any way, shape, or form.
It's an Xbox exclusive?
It is an Xbox PC exclusive.
Oh, no!
So it is in the Microsoft family, but they said it will not come over to the PlayStation 4. So there's that.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. This is just a personal one. Sometimes I buy video game books, like just books with video game topics and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
This book is called... This Be Book, Bad Translation, Video Games.
Oh my god.
It is a new book off of Fangamer, and it is by Clyde Mandolin. Mandolin has released the Legends of Localization series.
Oh, that's why his name sounds familiar. Yeah,
so I think his online handle is Motto, like M-A-T-O.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he's had the Legend of Localization for Earthbound and the original Legend of Zelda.
All right.
The Legend of Zelda one I own. It's really amazing.
Okay.
The Earthbound one I did not get my hands on, and it's sold out right now.
Sure.
But they're doing like a second printing.
All right.
So he's got this little book coming out, This Be Book, Bad Translation, Video Games.
Yeah.
And it is highlighting the best and baddest of video game, like, just translation. Whoa. They got some examples in here. Like, there's an old fighting game where the victory screen says, "You are a sucking baby."
Oh, wow.
There's a Gundam game for the PC with Char's fabulous face on it.
Yeah.
And it reads, "Congratulations for complete of your mission. Now is the time half past of this game.
Damn.
Press any key."
Wow.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm a big fan of bad translations and kind of rough voice acting in the early era of video games. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, that stuff doesn't really happen anymore.
It doesn't, right? You get bad voice acting, but not in the way where it's like, homeboy just got Jim from accounting.
Yeah.
And was like, do this voice.
Yeah, now when it's bad voice acting, it's like, oh, you're just a bad voice actor.
Yeah, right? It's not fun. Like, yeah. For people who don't know about this stuff, one of my favorite YouTube videos is called
Takes Forever.
Top 50 Worst Video Game Voice Acting Lines. It's done by a website called Audio Atrocities, which used to just catalog the worst of voice acting. And it's got some great ones. And I think, like, my standout game from that is Castle Shikigami 2 for the PS2. Mm-hmm. There are situations in that game where the text on the screen does not match what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And also, like, if you play in co-op, people are having two separate conversations when they're supposed to be having a conversation with each other. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it's just really bad in this really ridiculous way, and it's really fun. So check that out if that interests you in any way. Mm-hmm. The next one is very charitable. Summer Games Done Quick has ended.
Yeah.
It started and ended. It broke a new record. It's raised $1,760,857.98. Oh. Oh, sorry. $857.
Whoa.
And 98 cents. With over 30,000 donators.
Wow.
So it was really cool. There's a lot of great runs. I actually watched the Donkey Kong 64 run. And Donkey Kong 64 is a just busted wide open. Like, there was a thing where walls weren't solid anymore. Whoa. So they would just fucking walk through walls and shit. There is a great any percent race done for Super Meat Boy.
Oh, where, I saw that, yeah.
Where they beat it in 21 minutes. There's a 120 star run for Super Mario 64, where they do it in an hour 40. Mm. It's the way, again, like, the way people break these games is ridiculous.
I only saw part of one, and it was just a clip show of, like, highlights. It was the any percent run for Final Fantasy VII.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I think they did it in just under 8 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
They used a lot of tricks to, so they wouldn't get into random encounters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but it was neat.
And then the last one is, it's news, but it's more of a nightmare for me.
Okay.
They announced a white PS4 Pro.
Ooh, yeah, that's so sexy. And, like,
it is so sexy. I got a white PS4 regular.
Double decking, yeah.
Oh, it's just so nice. Yeah, it's just so
baby.
Nice. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, you know what? White PS4 Pro, I could go for that.
You should.
I could, but the thing is, Vince, is that it's bundled with Destiny 2.
That's not a problem.
And I'm like, shit. It looks like Anthony is going to get Destiny some way or another.
You were always going to get Destiny.
No. It really is my destiny to get this fucking game.
Because, remember, you supported the first Destiny by buying the original white PlayStation 4.
Yeah, and you know what? At the time, I was like, yo, Destiny, I want to see what's up.
Yeah.
You talk big, I want to see if you can walk the walk. Yeah. And they fucking didn't.
Yeah. And then you know what you did? Then you bought the Taken King.
Because you guys were like, listen, they fixed Destiny. It's fixed. They add the Taken King adds a bunch of stuff. It's fantastic. And I'm like, all right, they usually have good opinions on things. Let me trust them again. And they broke their trust.
And then we told you that Destiny 2 is going to fulfill those broken promises.
Yeah, and you know what? I said, fuck, no, it's not. But the thing is,
you're going to support it again!
Dude, there's a white PS4 Pro, and now I don't know what to do. I always said that if they came out with a white PS4 Pro, I'd buy it.
Oh,
so now I'm like, shit.
I love how weak you are.
It's white.
Wow. So racist.
Is it?
Yeah, man.
Is it?
What if they were girls?
If I could get a girl PS4, I'd be down.
No, what if I were talking about girls? And you're like, and I'm like, listen, all girls are black. And you're like, eh.
I'll wait for that limited edition.
That limited white chick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen. Are you telling me that if 99% of the Earth's opposite sex was one color,
yeah,
and like one person was different, they wouldn't be the most sought after thing?
No.
Yes, they would, you fucking wiener. No. Human nature is fucked.
No, I would say if 90% of the world was a certain race and there's a minimal one, they would be outcast and they'd be exiled.
I don't know if they'd be exiled.
Oh, they'd be put into slavery.
Wow. Is that what you're saying?
That's what... I don't have to say it. History has proven it.
Are you calling for white slavery?
Oh, I'm calling for white slavery.
Well, shit, master. I better get my handcuffs.
All right.
So yeah, that was a conversation.
Yeah.
Destiny 2, white PS4 4 Pro. And that's all my quick picks.
All right, I got 3 quick ones. First one is a movie trailer. I can't remember when this came out, a couple of weeks ago, but I've been meaning to talk about it. Hey, do you like Taken?
I do like Taken. Taken's a pretty good movie.
What if I told you there's a movie like Taken?
Like Taken 2?
No.
What about Taken 3?
No.
Okay.
It's like Taken, but it's not Taken.
Oh, like the original Taken?
No.
Okay.
Take out Liam Neeson.
Wait, is this the one where the dad throws their son into a volcano?
No.
Oh, that's Tekken.
That's Tekken.
Oh, sorry.
It's like, but you're close. He's Asian.
Oh, okay.
Our main star is not Liam Neeson. It's another fellow Asian. Jackie Chan.
No, part of the Mishima Zaibatsu.
Yeah, and what if I told you, instead of someone that's kidnapped his daughter, someone just straight up killed her?
Yo, you know what this movie is? What? That's The Law-Abiding Citizen.
Yeah.
You remember that movie?
Yeah. That was
Jamie Foxx.
Oh, what's Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, Jamie Foxx was a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say he was Clive Owen. I don't think it's Clive Owen.
Anyways.
Yeah, so we watched that trailer for The Foreigner.
Yeah.
Dude, that's just Jackie Chan being angry and sad.
I don't know. Like, this movie, like, I think Jackie Chan could only have done this movie because he's at this certain stage in his life.
Yeah.
I could not have seen young Jackie doing this.
No, the thing is, like, for people who don't know, like, the history of Jackie Chan movies,
yeah,
like, he always plays a goofball.
Yeah.
Like, he's always this lovable oaf.
Yeah.
Who just so happens to be the best at what he does.
Yeah.
Right? And he's kind of relatable in that way because he's still an everyman.
Yeah.
Except he's got sick kung fu powers.
Yeah.
And this is just him being dark and brooding and sad. And it's...
Yeah.
Like, the look on his face throughout the whole movie, it's because he's a lot older now as well. It's just, it's the sagging face and wrinkles mixed with just the stone face cowl.
Yeah, he is not smiling at all in this trailer.
Yeah, and I'm just like, man, cowl was not the word I was looking for.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, in addition to his awesome kung fu powers that he still can do at this age, he just whips out guns now.
Yeah, no, Dark Jackie don't give a fuck. This is the darkest timeline.
There's a point in this trailer where he has a shotgun and he's shooting through a wall.
And then he gets the shotgun shot out of his hands.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
This is not the Jackie Chan I knew. Like, even in Rush Hour, he didn't use guns.
Yeah.
Like, he held two pool sticks and was like, I don't want any trouble.
Yeah. Oh, God. So saddens me that there's a generation of kids who will only know Jackie Chan as this Jackie Chan.
I'm going to say that there won't be a generation of kids who will only know Jackie Chan as this Jackie Chan.
No?
Because I don't think anyone's going to watch this movie.
Oh, I think everyone's going to watch this. When was the last time Jackie Chan was in a movie?
The Zodiac thing.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
I don't know, a couple years?
No, it was longer.
Was it?
It was way longer.
No one saw that either.
Yeah. Jackie Chan's sad and old.
Okay, fine.
Everyone loves Mr. Nice Guy. What have I told you? Mr. Nice Guy's back, only he's Mr. Sad Guy.
Mr. Bad Guy?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
That should have been the title of this movie.
Mr. Bad Guy? we should never title movies ever.
Mr. Bad Guy.
Do you remember Axe Cop?
Yeah,
that sounds like something that would be written in Axe Cop. Axe Cop, who are you going to go face? Oh, my new arch nemesis, Mr. Bad Guy.
Oh, my God.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I like it.
All right.
I like it.
You know what? To be honest, though, that trailer has... I want to see Jackie Chan emote for an hour and a half, kind of.
Yeah. Same. And we're going to close things out with the Overwatch Minute.
It's always longer than a minute. You can't call it the Overwatch Minute when it's like half an hour of Overwatch.
It's the title of a segment.
All right, fine.
First up, let's see, the dudes over at Blizzard.
They're like, we love all fan creations.
Yeah, and so they said, we got some new merch for you Overwatch fans to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And they introduced the fourth Overwatch statue.
Which I didn't even realize there were three previous ones.
Yeah, the first one was Tracer. Came out before the game launched, actually. Mm. And for a while, that was such a hot commodity. I tried to buy one and someone charged me $600. And I was like, no. No.
Wow.
Like, I went to buy... I said, what's that Tracer statue? And the dealer looked at me and he gave me that dumbass look like, you don't know what this is.
Oh my God.
You don't know? $600. And I was like, whoa. So Blizzard reissued that for 150 again, so okay. There you go. Then they did Reaper, because everyone loves the Dark Edge Lord.
Yeah.
And then Widowmaker, because that ass.
Because that booty.
Yeah, there you go. But
there's that... also the soldier statue that comes in the
limited... Yeah, but that's not really a
statue. Isn't it, like, unpainted?
It's a replica of the Overwatch statue they have at the... Like, in universe.
Oh, okay.
At the base, they have a like a graphite soldier statue.
Oh, okay.
That's what that's supposed to be. So it's not the actual... soldier statue you'd want.
Okay.
But I think they've caught everybody's attention this time with their fourth release, because at Anime Expo they revealed the fourth release, and that is a D.Va statue, but mm-hmm. It's D.Va plus her mecha. And if you know anything about Overwatch, they're a big unit.
Mm-hmm.
This statue is appropriately large. It's 20 inches tall.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's 20 inches tall. There's a video out there on YouTube of someone filming the case, and people are walking by it, and it's like bigger than most people's torso.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's huge. It's $450.
So?
That's a lot.
You can either get it now for $450, or you can go up to some guy and be like, what's that D.Va statue? And he'd be like, oh, you don't know?
Oh, God.
$7,000.
Oh, God. That's true. Maybe I could be that guy. Anyways, it's, I want it.
You know what? I kind of looked at it,
yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to want it.
Like, no, you don't.
I was like, damn. No, it's a nice toy. Like, yeah. I read about it, and it was like all hand-painted.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
It's large and in charge.
Yeah. I think the thing I would want most that's D.Va related is that Corsair D.Va case that you showed me.
Oh, yeah.
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 That's really nice.
That's a cool PC case. If I were into PC gaming, I would be... Yeah. In that case.
Good thing I can't buy it.
Wow.
It was a one-off make.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, it's not like a thing you can buy.
Damn. But yeah, so it's a cool statue. I think it hits sometime in the fall.
Mm.
We'll see what the financial situation is by then.
You'll make room for it.
I probably will. Yeah. It's not... I rarely... And you know what? How many statues have I bought? Not many.
You got given one, and it is currently in the corner on a shelf collecting dust for the past 2 years.
Yeah, I also have some really small ones, but I never really count those as statues.
Yeah, the small ones don't really... Like, I don't, oh, look, this keychain is a statue.
Yeah, you know what? I guess as my first statue, that D.Va would be really cool.
Again, I point to...
Yeah, but I didn't buy that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's cool. But the bigger Overwatch announcement was the next character.
Okay.
He's from Africa. Called Doomfist. With a name like Doomfist, he cannot be cool, right?
This gotta be like a rule 34 of that shit already.
So you know how like everyone loves shipping characters in Overwatch?
Yeah.
So the number one ship right now is Doomfist X Reaper.
Really?
Yeah, because Reaper is the leader of the big bad organization Talon.
Okay.
But it was recently revealed that Doomfist is the other leader of Talon.
Oh, they're co-leaders?
Yeah. And so people like, you know how people like to combine names?
Yeah.
So they're called Fister.
Oh, gross. See, so one of my friends on Twitter, she is big into that Overwatch fandom. Yeah. She's all about those pairings, and she draws pairings all the time.
Yeah.
Her big pairing is Soldier 76.
And Reaper. Yeah, see, everyone's dropped that shit.
See, but the thing is like, it's them not being, like, all lusty about each other. It's them, like, living normal... They're both dads, but they have this underlying love for each other. Yeah. And they're just like, they'll do something cute, and then he'll, like, Soldier 76 will blush, and they'll be like, oh, no, Reaper-chan.
Yeah. Anyway, so Doomfist is everyone's surprised, an offense hero.
Yeah.
And he's melee focused, which is tough to deal with in a game that's about shooting people with guns.
Does he shoot his fists?
So he has one. He has.
Well, okay. Not even special powers first. What's his shoot you with things?
So hold power? On. His basic stance is you know Sagat in Street Fighter Muay Thai.
Yeah.
You know he holds his. Yeah. So his basic stance is that.
Okay.
Only he doesn't have the one foot up, and in the hand that's further out. Is his gun. It's on top of his knuckles, like Wolverine's claws.
Oh, okay.
And there's four shots for each knuckle. And each one of them is a shotgun.
Oh, so he's close range?
Yeah, and it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, but you can't reload it. It auto-reloads. And it's by one. Like, so after 1.5 seconds, you get one shot back.
Wait, so if I shoot two, yeah, then after 1.5, I get my third, like, then I have three shots in the chamber? Or does it reload them all at once?
No, no, one by one.
Oh, and wow.
Your clip size is four.
Is the gun strong?
No. It's arguably the weakest gun in the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So what makes Doomfist broken?
So his mobility is insane. So first of all, he has a shuriken.
Okay.
I mean, he straight up just has a shoryuken.
All right.
And it has knockback, and it puts people in the air. And the most common combo is like a Marvel juggling combo. So you hit them up, and then when you're in there, you use four of your shotgun pellets to kill them.
Oh, okay.
If you miss that, he has this thing called Seismic Slam. Mm-hmm. He can activate it from in the air or on the ground. And he leaps forward and he does like a small... You know Reinhardt's ult is the hammer down?
Yeah.
It's like a very, very baby version of that.
Okay.
And instead of stunning you, it stuns you and brings you towards him.
Oh.
Yeah. And then...
As like a knockdown stun or is it like I'm standing up dizzy stun?
I'm standing up dizzy. Okay. Coming towards you stun. Okay. But the cool thing about that is, say he jumps forward, right?
Mm.
You can still turn around, so when you land, the cone doesn't have to be...
In front of you?
Yeah, it could be behind you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so like that... That's
cool. So it's like a Winston jump where you can kind of change
yes.
your... Yes. All right.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the range of Winston's jump.
Okay.
So you always have to combine it with something. And then his last one, arguably the one that's just crazy strong, is his rocket punch.
Mm.
So his rocket punch gives him... it is essentially a dash, like Genji's...
Yeah, sword thing.
Only you can charge it.
And
if you charge it to the max, and it'll dictate the damage you do on the character you hit.
Okay, there's a League of Legends character that does that.
If you hit a character, and whenever you hit the character, it has insane knockback.
Okay.
If the character you hit hits a wall, it doubles the damage.
Whoa!
And it's enough to kill every hero in the game except the tank.
Okay, like not Reinhardt, not Diva. No,
but any offense hero, any defense hero, I think maybe Bastion's the only one you can't
okay.
do, but... You leave him with, like, 10 health.
Does he have to be, like, healing as he hits a wall? Like,
yeah, something like that. Okay. I can't remember how it works. But the thing that makes him, like, super devastating is his three powers just give him insane mobility, which makes him hard to hit, like Tracer, mm-hmm. because he also has, with his uppercut, he has vertical. And every time one of his special attacks hits, he has this amazing self-sustain. He gets auto shields.
Oh,
and it's not dependent on how much damage he puts out. It's does his hit connect? So all you gotta do is connect your.
So you connect, you get a flat shield.
Yes.
Huh. That sounds really good.
Yeah. And so he's an offense hero, and he has a maximum health potential of 400 HP, which is double any offense hero.
Wow. It sounds like he's got good combo potential in like either of his. If you start with anything in his kit, it sounds like he can yes. combo into other stuff, right?
Because
you can go to like you can go for rocket punch yeah. into shockwave yeah. into you, and then uppercut, or you could do the reverse. You can go uppercut yeah. into shockwave yeah. into rocket punch.
Yeah. So he's really strong in that sense. His ultimate is called Meteor Strike. He literally jumps into space.
Do you Gamma Crush?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't stop him. Like it's just.
Are you telling me I can't Roadhog Shame him out of space?
No,
that's lame.
No, you can't. And
can I use it? Indoors.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like, you can leave from anywhere, and you just come down
like,
anywhere.
I am inside the Hanamura Temple.
Yeah, you're not safe.
God damn it.
Yeah. It's crazy. He has some hard counters. Sombra, if Sombra hacks him, he's just done.
Yeah.
He's finished.
Okay, I can see that.
And if Roadhog hooks him in any of his attacks, he's stopped.
But Roadhog doesn't have the
one-hit kill.
The one-hit KO.
So the idea is, like, so Roadhog's nerf makes a bit more sense now. The idea is you hook him to stop him, and you use your team to finish him, which is not as fun.
Eh. Yeah. I still think that if you land that hook, you should be rewarded.
I think so, too. I think it's dumb. But I think there's a buff coming for Roadhog, which gives him more health potential or something.
He's know. Got... Dude, that fucking potion has zero cooldown,
yeah.
and he has all the health in the world.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah. But Doomfist seems cool. I'm watching lots of gameplay videos. Some really good guys are just... He's a nightmare to deal with.
Mm-hmm. It's also that period when, like, no one knows how to play against that character.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, no, like, a lot of the higher-ups, like, they've been doing the thing you talk about. Like, he has tons of combo potential and synergy with a lot of great heroes.
Okay.
So. He looks to shake the meta.
He seemed like a cool character. Like, if I were to go back to playing mm-hmm. Overwatch, like, I think I'd main Doomfist.
With a name like Doomfist, how could you not?
He's got a rocket punch, bro.
Yeah, man.
Oh, it's so cool.
It is very cool.
And I think that's all the things I picked out for this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what did you do in your week?
So I was gone last week because I went to Ottawa in Quebec to celebrate Canada Day.
Yep.
I stayed at a cottage
in Gatineau,
Quebec.
Your murder cottage?
Yeah, man. The drive, so, man. It's in total country roads, but the drive, like, the actual driveway to this cottage was, like, 100% off-roading, off-road.
Wow. Yeah. Like, wait, like, no pavement?
No. Like, through a forest.
Wow.
Through, like...
That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, it sounds awesome. But when you have to get out of it, like, every day... to go down somewhere, it's like a lot of like some people I was with, like they have a Toyota Prius.
Oh
man, the grading on some of these parts were just too high, so they, and it rained some days, so it was really tough.
Okay,
yeah,
I need a Jeep.
Yeah, like I was lucky I had my 4x4, so yeah. it was no problem, but a lot of them had small family sedans,
and yeah, just that makes like sense.
That sucks. Yeah, so I did a lot of cottagey things, ate, slept, relaxed, swam in a lake, jumped off stuff into a lake.
Yeah, no, it all checks out. The cottage list, the cottage experiences, all checked out on the list.
I went to this cool little mine in Quebec.
Okay.
It was really neat because it's at the very bottom of the mine, there's like an opening in the ceiling for the sun to come down, and it's just like the stillest oasis of water.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was super dangerous to get there.
Do you get to swim there?
I didn't want to do it.
Why not?
Because the water was ice.
So?
No. I didn't want to get pneumonia.
Boo!
Yeah. And then Otto, of course, is packed for Canada Day.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen so many people wearing red and white. And that was a lot of fun. Man, people... I'm so glad... It was one of those situations where I was so glad I was a guy because... When you had to use the bathroom and, like, it was just those porta-potty things.
Yeah, you're in and out.
But for the girls, it's just like, ooh, I don't even want to know how you did that.
Oh, I got a side tangent story.
Oh, no.
So I'm working at a new job, and I have mostly female coworkers. And I came back from the bathroom. I was complaining. I was like, man, the fucking guy's bathroom is gross. Like, how come the guys in this office never just flush the toilet? Like, there's always just like, look at my log, man.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, it's gross. And she's like, Anthony, that's nothing. Right. Let me tell you about the girls' bathroom.
Oh, are you going to be seeing red?
Yes.
Oh, no.
So what happened was one time she said she went into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And someone had took a used maxi pad.
Oh.
And just slammed it against the stall wall. And then spread it a little bit and then left it there sticking.
But why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know, man. Girls are gross.
That's gross.
It's really gross.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, you could see where she slammed it because it splattered. And then she, like...
So the thing is, you know, someone must have gotten her, too.
I guess, yeah. Like, but it's hers. Like, what does she care?
I don't fucking care. Anthony, are you going to cut yourself and then smear your face with it?
Baby.
Oh, no. I don't know you. Yeah, so Ottawa was fun. It was busy. There was fireworks walk across the bridge that connects Ottawa to Quebec.
Yeah.
If you guys, for those of you who don't know,
like me,
the country's capital, Ottawa, is in the province of Ontario.
What?
Which is actually, the city itself actually lies on the border of Ontario and the other province, Quebec.
Oh, I didn't know that. I always assumed it was in Quebec.
No, Ottawa is in Ontario.
Huh.
Yeah. And.
Shows my geography.
And there's literally a line that goes through it, and there's like it's separated by a body of water.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and there's a bridge that connects them.
And this is like you are in Quebec.
Yeah, so you can just and so what we did is they closed off the bridge to cars, so you just walk across. So I parked on the Quebec side.
Yeah,
because the Ontario side was busier, and then. Just walked across.
You should have walked across with a bunch of cheap cases of beer and I would have been on the other side like, let's smell the whole thing.
Yeah, so it was cool. So many people. I went to Parliament Hill and there was a like an outdoor patio bar just underneath the Parliament buildings.
That's pretty cool.
And I had drinks there for a bit. And yeah, poutine was there. Timorin was there. Pizza was there. It was fun.
So I know where you went is more of a touristy area of Quebec, I would assume, right?
I actually stayed 40, like it's a 40-minute drive north of Ottawa.
Okay, like not where you, I mean like where you went for festivities.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah, I went to downtown Ottawa.
Yeah, so how are the prices there? Because Ontario is notorious for having some of the highest taxations in the country, right? So what is it like, what was it like compared to Ontario?
In Quebec?
Yeah. Was stuff like significantly cheaper where you're like, hot damn?
No.
Okay.
Because in Quebec, they have their provincial tax, but there's also like city tax.
Oh.
Like certain cities or townships impose their own tax. And it's like an extra 2% on top of.
Oh, whatever. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like I went with my friend Darren and we went to buy beer.
Okay.
And the beer was like, it was like $13 for the case.
That's very cheap.
But after tax, it came up to 18.
Oh, that's 13. That's a large.
Yeah. That's a lot, right?
It's still cheaper than Ontario.
But like when you consider what the
taxes are. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's a lot of taxes.
Yeah.
Okay. But like I guess the general price of goods.
It's a little bit less. Yeah. Right. I don't think it's, I mean, it depends on how much, I guess, the cost of living is too, right?
Okay.
But it was comparable, maybe a little less. But yeah, so that was fun. You don't need to know French to be in Quebec. I know that's a big misconception.
But how would I read the stop signs?
You read the English one.
What? That's crazy.
Well, yeah, no. The thing about drivers, about signs and stuff is they're universal worldwide, right?
So yeah.
It's not like the stop sign says Arrête. But it's still the big red octagon.
I don't know, man. It's a red octagon, but it's a different word. Go. Fuck.
You know what's weird in Quebec? You know when we're in a neighborhood and there's a stop sign on this corner?
Yeah.
Neighborhoods in Quebec have a small island for that stop sign in the middle of the road.
Oh.
Yeah.
More visibility?
I don't know.
Huh.
But it means you can't drive down the middle of the road.
But it's not a roundabout, right?
No. It's a stop sign.
Weird.
Yeah. So there you go.
Huh. The more you know.
Yeah, it's fun. So that was fun. I did a lot of fun stuff there. Roads are bad, like people have said. Quebec roads are awful.
Are they?
Really bad.
Like potholes and...
Yeah, it's awful.
Gross.
I want to wreck your car, go for it.
I don't. That's always what I said about Detroit roads.
Yeah.
Whenever I used to drive out to my friend in Ohio, like we'd have to pass through Detroit and like... You could tell when you were out of Detroit because the roads got immediately smooth. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah. So, yeah, that trip was fun. I have a couple small, montage clips on my YouTube channel if you guys want to check that out. And then I didn't play any video games because I brought my Switch with me.
Yeah.
I didn't play it, though.
You didn't play Fast RMX?
No.
You didn't play Neo Geo Turf Masters? Mm-mm. Waku Waku 7.
I didn't even play Mario Kart 8.
Damn, that's a bad game, though. You shouldn't play it. You made a good decision on that part.
Oh, okay. I did watch a couple things.
Okay.
You want to hear about the TV show or the movie?
Television. I always want to know what's hot in the world of television. Okay,
so I watched the Netflix special that came out called Glow.
Okay, I don't even know what this is.
Glow is, I believe it's called the... Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
That sounds great.
Oh, yes. It stars Allison Brie.
Wait, what? From Community?
Community's Annie's Boobs.
Community's Annie's Boobs. Huh. Okay.
She's the lead. So you want me to give you the instant sell on this show?
Is it Stacey Keibler in it?
No.
Trish Stratus.
So first of all, it takes place in the 80s.
Oh, is it fake? Is it a fake story?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like a documentary.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, give me the cell.
You get to see Annie's boobs.
Shit. Oh, my God.
Now, do you want me to burst the bubble?
They're not her boobs.
They are her boobs, but they're not the boobs you want to see.
Wait, what? Are they like taped?
Allison Brie is in the fittest form of her life in this movie.
Oh.
I was like, oh my god, she's so like muscular. She almost looks kind of grossly thin.
This is the most sexist we've ever been on this podcast.
So the only reason I bring it up is because I read an interview with her, and she's like, no, I have no problem nudity, but it's just ironic that the one part where I had to do nudity, it's like a big fuck you to people who want to see my tits because they're the smallest they've ever been. And I was like, man, you're so right. That is a big fuck you to the audience. And I'm one of those people.
God damn it. But, you gotta respect it.
Yeah, no, it's from the creator. So the show's from the creator of Orange is the New Black. It's a show about females and female empowerment in the 80s and whatnot. The idea is they want to make wrestling is getting big, right?
Yeah,
in the
wrestling's 80s. Hot.
And they want to make a female version of wrestling.
Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah, and Alison Brie is this down on her luck actress. And
Hulk Hogan.
This is eventually a job she gets to, and she's like, what the fuck is this?
Jake the Snake Roberts. I'm just going to keep listing wrestling names.
Sure. The way they frame their wrestling show Yokozuna. Is they're awful stereotypes of people.
Okay.
Who have to wrestle each other to battle it out.
Like, of like, regular day people?
No, of
like, here's the prick in the eye. Oh. So you should have said that. That's the sell.
Annie plays Russian.
That's fantastic.
Or, sorry, Alison Brie plays Russian, and she has to fight. Done, yeah. She has to fight her best friend, who is Liberty Bell. Can you guess who that is?
Canadian.
No, yeah, she's American. There's a Cambodian chick who's played by the actress who played Knives in Scott Pilgrim.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
damn.
And they're just like, nah, you're Chinese, so you will be China.
I rewatched Scott Pilgrim yesterday. Yeah. I'm gonna talk about it.
Yeah. Yep.
What's kicking? Kung Pao.
Oh,
chicken?
Yeah, that's right. Anyways, the show's actually really good. It's 10 episodes. Each episode, it's a 30-minute format.
That sounds great.
So, yeah, it's very short, very digestible. The wrestling part is fun, but it's more definitely about the drama and the character interactions, and it's about a lot of shit happens throughout the series. Like, the show is struggling to find funding. It's struggling to get moving. Okay. And all the other problems in the 80s that society had to go through.
Yeah.
So
hair metal.
Yeah.
Hairspray.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. There's a robot that just dispenses cocaine.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Instead of Johnny Five, it's Johnny C. Johnny Cocaine.
Yeah. So it's really good. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's one of Netflix's best shows, but it's super entertaining.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would hope so. Like, wrestling is entertainment. Like, you would hope that the show about it.
Yeah, so like, it's all about these actresses, right? And they're struggling to understand what it is about wrestling that's so interesting. Like, why do people care about wrestling? Because it's quote-unquote fake.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's what the show tries to dive into, like, from a female perspective as to why people care.
Okay.
And eventually, yes, they all get really into it and they understand.
Yeah, I would like to know, I guess maybe slight spoilers for me.
Hmm?
Do they ever delve into the thing of people saying wrestling is fake? Right, so like wrestling is
no, they straight up, like, a lot of the girls are like, but wrestling's fake.
Yeah, but it's not,
and they laugh at it.
Yeah, but it's not fake, if you know what I mean. Like,
oh, like they have to,
like,
actually,
people are still like, they're hurting themselves to
yeah.
make this entertainment, right? Like, yeah. the storylines are pre-written and whatever,
yeah.
and they take certain safety precautions, but like, you can only like protect yourself so much when you take a chair to the back.
Yeah, so right? it's there's no, like, the wrestling they do has no weapons or objects and stuff. Okay. It's mostly just submission holds, and it's more flashy moves that you still have some sort of protection against.
Yeah. And do they take into consideration, like, just the physical aspects of wrestling?
You mean, like, well? That they have to get fit and
like,
stuff?
Like, not just being fit, but just, like, injuries, maybe. Like, the dangers of wrestling.
They do, because they also go get coached by male wrestlers.
Okay.
And they have to tell, like, they have to teach them certain things and like how to
fall correctly. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's the one thing. So I was, for some reason last week,
yeah,
I was looking up, like, back when wrestling was like, oh, kids shouldn't watch it and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. Right. And just like the history of, like, people keep saying wrestling is fake, but it's not. Like, was it Owen Hart died? Like, okay, rest, from the, right?
Wasn't that more like a malfunction on something?
Yeah, he, I think he fell from a rope thing.
Like, it wasn't a move he was also, doing.
Who was the Scottish guy?
Oh.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Like, Rowdy Roddy Piper has, like, screws in his hip and, like, broken ribs and stuff. And, like, it's fake to an extent to where, like, these people don't have actual beef with each other.
Yeah.
Unless they do. But it's still real to a point where it's dangerous what they're doing.
Yeah, so it's interesting. When you say they don't have actual beef with each other, they touch upon this point where it's like, listen, it's fake. Like, we don't have that animosity, but outside of it, we're not really friends.
Yeah, you're coworkers.
Yeah, he's like,
there.
He's like, yeah, and so it touches upon that, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Okay.
So yeah, that's a good show. Check it out on Netflix. And then the movie I watched was, can you take a guess?
Is it Baby Driver?
It's Baby Driver.
Yes! Oh, why don't we review Baby Driver?
Because you talked about it last week, and you loved it.
Oh, I loved it. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Is it, though?
Okay. I mentioned it. I don't know if you listened to my solo episode.
I mentioned
it. Yeah, I want to hear your side, because, like I said last week, you're a person who is, who thinks of music not as...
Okay.
Like, it's just there, okay. Right? It's not as, like, you're not going to be like, I'm going to put on this hot new track and get pumped, right? Yeah. It's like, music is just a thing that exists in this ethereal space that you don't exist in.
Yeah. Let's see. So, first of all, I like this movie up to a certain point.
Okay.
There's something about it that I really disliked, but it's not the thing that you think it is.
Okay.
In that, I thought the music thing was great. Like, the...
All the cutting and...
Yeah, it was just super creative, and it was just... it always fit the tone.
Yeah.
And it was great because it was a storytelling tool. It's like... I guess it's what I would imagine what a modern 2017 musical would be.
I thought that was La La Land.
I guess so, yeah. That's more traditional, but I mean, like, this is, like, an evolution of, like... Okay. Where musicals
could I could see that being a description, yeah. I haven't heard that before.
But yeah, so that's how I feel it. I thought it was really good. I don't really know any of the music selection they chose. Like, I was just like...
Yeah, well, there's a lot of really obscure shit. Like, they picked The Damned, like, which is an old, I think, 80s.
So what I want to know is, like, how far in advance did they know they were going to use these songs? Because, I mean, it must have been such a nightmare to get the licenses to use it all.
See, that's the thing. I don't know if it was. Some of these songs might be... owned by maybe
the same company,
like the same company, and also they had Sony's library. This is a Sony movie, right? So those might have been owned by Sony, and the fact that they're so obscure and old that Sony's just like, yeah, fuck it, whatever, just go for it, like, who gives a shit?
That's true,
right?
I imagine the soundtrack to this movie must be amazing.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, so there's that. I thought it was cool. The movie, I gotta say, the first 15 minutes of this movie are fucking incredible.
Where they do the heist and he's like in the car.
Yeah, and then he does this wicked car chase, and then he goes to buy coffee.
Yeah, that whole dance scene where he copies the poster, the words of the song are on the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought the first, I was just like, wow, what am I in for?
Yeah.
And the movie never, ever gets back to that awesomeness.
You would have wanted something like full musical like that?
I would have rather just had the whole thing be that cool.
Okay.
Or, it's not that I want the whole thing to be that cool, but there's a second car chase.
Mm-hmm.
It's nowhere near as cool.
All right.
And the move, and the, so, like, but it's still pretty all right, I guess. Baby seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx is...
psycho.
Fucking awesome.
Fucking nut bar.
He's so cool. I love his character, because the minute the movie starts, you know this guy is just here to wreck shit.
Yeah, he's the Joker, like...
Yeah. Yeah, and you know he's gonna cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
John Hamm is my favorite character in the movie.
John Hamm is fantastic. Okay, I have to say, I don't know if I mentioned it when I talked about it.
Yeah.
But John Hamm, I think, is the standout.
Yeah.
Like, very close second is Jamie Foxx. Yeah. But John Hamm is killer in this movie.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines in this movie are not from John Hamm, but it's from the girl.
Okay.
And Baby walks into the diner at the end of the movie, and she's like...
Deborah?
Yeah, she's like, your buddy is here.
Oh.
And he's there, and he's holding the...
Oh, the paper.
The newspaper? Yeah.
Or when she fills the coffee.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah. So, yeah. He was great. I thought that the first two-thirds of this movie were pretty amazing.
Okay.
But it just completely falls apart in the last act.
The John Hamm act, the John Hamm arc?
That, it's even before that. It's when they go and do the final heist.
Okay.
Because, okay, I'm going to spoil here, but the whole movie is about Baby owing this debt to Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I think that's actually general knowledge. Like, that's why he's driving.
Right. Anyways, after the second heist in this movie, he's clear. Mm-hmm. Like, he's done, right?
Yeah.
However, he gets pressured into coming back for one last job.
Yeah.
And he comes back. And then there's a moment where they have to get guns. They gotta get stuff. And shit goes down. Kevin Spacey's the boss. He gets spooked.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's call it off. Let's not do this.
Yeah.
And somehow the decision is left on Baby to say, do you want to go through with this or not?
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, there's no reason why he should have said yes. He could have said no, walked away, and at first I thought it was because he needed the money.
Mm-hmm.
But
he doesn't.
He doesn't, because they're running away that night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why didn't he just say no?
The only thing that I can think of with that is, so Baby plays off as a cool character when he's with the girl.
Yeah.
Right? When he's by himself, he's very confident. But when he becomes part of the criminal underground crew, he's more sheepish. He's like, the only thing I can think of is that the pressure of that situation would have made him choose something that Kevin Spacey's character would rather agree with, right? Rather than what he wants, because then it'd be suspicious. These people, like, the whole thing was, like, even if he said no, the whole thing of, so there's the restaurant scene, right? Yeah. Like, they could have left immediately after Kevin Spacey was like, listen, just go, right? Like, you got to do this for me. But the thing was, Kevin Spacey's character is said to have such power, outreaching, right?
Yeah.
That he would find him anyways. So if at some point Baby said no and then left anyways, he's still going to be hunted down by Kevin Spacey's character.
So, I mean, like, that's definitely a plausible scenario. But again,
they do not convey that well within that scene.
So it could be up for interpretation all ways around. But it was one of those, it was the first part of the movie where I'm like, oh, what the fuck is happening here? The next part was that, I guess I walked into this movie hoping for like this awesome heist slash car chase movie.
Yeah.
And apart from the first 15 minutes, it never was that.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, the big action sequence, don't get me wrong, was very cool to watch. Baby suddenly Jason Bourne.
Oh, the parkour?
Yeah, and he's fucking amazing outside of the car. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when did they establish this? And like, I didn't understand why he was able, he was so fucking awesome outside of the car too.
Yeah. Again, that was another thing where I assumed, because when they told about Baby's backstory, it was like, he was boosting cars since he was young. He's living on the streets.
Okay, sure. Yeah, right? Fine. But I mean, like,
but again, like, it's weird because they establish so many other little things really well.
Yeah. Like, they're very specific about certain things that they want you to know. And then you kind of just left to believe that he's able to do these other things through osmosis.
I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, even little things like, oh, how does Baby's roommate even listen to music if they're doing sign language, right? Yeah. And they show the little scene of him touching the speaker and through the vibration.
Yeah, and you're like, ah.
Oh, that makes sense. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then when they do that for such a small little detail, but then don't be like, Baby, why didn't you just say fuck it?
Yeah, right? So, like, there's moments like that where just really throw me off. But I think the one that really got to me, the one that I was just like, what the absolute fuck, was Kevin Spacey's turn at the end of the movie. For no, like, I don't know, maybe it was cute. I thought it was just like, what the fuck happened here? So Baby's in trouble. Kevin Spacey's trying to book it.
Yeah.
And he's like, listen, I can't help you. All right, Baby, you're on your own. You fucked up. You're on your own. And this chick, and then so Deborah walks up to Baby and says, it's okay, let's go, honey. And Kevin's face looks and goes, I too was once in love. And he's ready to fucking, like, risk it, like, let go of his life for this.
You reached friendship persona rank level 1.
Yeah.
Chie will now die for you.
I was just like, wait, what?
This is the third thing where I took liberties with being like, okay, what, maybe this is the case? Where I was like, again, through Baby's backstory, he was very young boosting cars. He boosted the wrong car, right?
Yeah.
the interactions with Kevin Spacey's character and also with Baby never seemed like an employer-employee relationship. It more seemed like a father and an estranged son,
yeah,
or vice versa.
Sure, I can see that.
Like, even in, even when Jamie Foxx's character is like, yo, did phones over there even listen? Like, yeah, he lies, he's slow, is he this, yeah, is he that? Like, Kevin Spacey is there to back up Baby immediately. No hesitation, no nothing.
Sure.
Like, in a way where, unless you are either very good friends with someone or they're your kid,
yeah,
you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was of a deeper bond than just,
sure,
you're my driver.
Okay. I just found it so weird. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You're just like, all right, I'll take care of this. And he pulls up the machine gun, gets ready to die.
Yeah. I thought the love story, yeah, in this thing was kind of the weakest part of it.
Deborah's the weakest part of this whole movie.
I like Deborah as a character.
What? So that's the problem. She isn't a character. She's an object.
It's okay. She is, they make this, they make this whole romance, yeah, thing very classic Hollywood. Like, not only, they throw it in your face. They have that 1950s moment where she's in basically a poodle skirt in, yeah, front of a Cadillac, right?
Yeah.
Right? And that's their whole thing. It's, I want to run off with you and just discover the land and be with you. And that's all I need is,
yeah,
is love, right? Yeah. It's very classic Hollywood. And she plays that character to a T.
Yeah.
In the context of modern day storytelling, she is 100% an object. She is a reason for this plot to move forward.
Yeah. Like, it's just, I just feel like her character is literally, oh my God, we have the same taste in music. Let me kiss you. Let me run away with you.
Yeah.
And like, though, she is both literally and figuratively in the passenger seat for this entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I don't know why it really bugged me. Like, she has one line where she literally says, where Baby asks, goes, so what are you doing tomorrow? And she says something along the lines of like, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And like, she has no character motivations whatsoever. It's just, mm-hmm, I'm gonna stick with you.
Yeah.
And I never understood why she loved him.
Yeah. That's the one thing where I thought the love story was the weakest.
Yeah.
Was because they try and play off that, again, that classic,
yeah,
50s Hollywood love, mm-hmm, right? And they don't give you a reason other than that the story made her,
yeah,
love him, right?
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's surrounded by really good storytelling, like,
yeah,
with all the criminals. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the thing that just, it's so weird. So the movie, the first 15 minutes of the movie are incredible.
Yeah.
The final 15 minutes are fucking bizarre.
Where it's the, like, the car chase and then they're in court.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like when they're driving down the truck,
mm-hmm,
and the cops come and Baby surrenders.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, okay, I get it.
Consequences to your actions.
Yeah. All right. You do, Edgar Wright, you didn't want to go for that happy ending. That's cool. That's, yeah, fine. You don't want to go for super cliche. Fine. But then they go through this like 10-minute like explanation of him going to court, going to jail.
That he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He was put there not by his own will.
Yeah. And then only so that 5 years later he can get out of jail, mm-hmm, where they then get the cliched run off into the sunset finish.
I thought that was cool in a sense that movies never really do that.
Yeah.
Because usually it's like, oh, I've been part of a big crime thing, blah, blah, yeah, blah, but I'm really a good person, but the audience knows this, but nobody else knows this.
Yeah.
Right. And then they just write off and all of his crimes are just written off free. So, yeah, he's got free, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was cool of Edgar Wright to kind of show a more real world judicial version of that. Just be like, no, you still committed a bunch of fucking crimes. Yeah. Like, you should probably still go to jail.
But, so like, that part's cool.
Yeah.
But then if you want to be realistic, what girl would wait for 5 years?
Dude. That's why the love story is the weakest part of that movie. Again, the plot needed her to love him.
Yeah.
The thing is though, this is not representative of all girls or all women, I would say.
No.
But every single girl / woman I have talked to that has seen this movie,
yeah,
absolutely adores that love story.
Yeah, no, I agree. I watched it with Melissa, and she loved it, and she was tearing up.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, cool.
It's just this love that is based purely on faith.
Yeah.
Right? Alone and just like.
It's so I was reading Twitter. Guillermo del Toro, the great director behind Pacific Rim.
Yes. He
said, don't like, he was taking these remarks, like these remarks of like how the female actors or characters in this story are objects. And he's like, well, and I think so he posed it as something like, this is a modern fantasy story akin to, say, like a classic princess to save the princess.
Okay.
Where the princess really is nothing more than the object at the top of the tower you gotta save. Yeah. And I guess in a certain sense, sure, that's one way to look at it.
And I wouldn't even go as far as saying that all the female characters in this show are objects, because while John Hamm's character does do a turn when something happens to his girl character, their relationship, they're both treated as kind of on the same level. Yeah. Like, she at no point is ever in a position where John Hamm needs to save her.
Yeah.
Right, she is always confident. Like, there's her fucking end scene is she's dual wielding,
yeah,
like assault rifles.
Yeah,
right. She's just going for it. She is always a strong, character on her own.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. But otherwise, I mean, it was I really liked it. I just wish the third act wasn't so bizarre.
For me, I was able to take that love story and kind of just like quarantine it within this, like, this is like this weird 1950s things that are kind of go for. Maybe it doesn't mesh with the rest of it, but like I can understand the tone, right? And that didn't really bother me as much.
Yeah,
I was really looking at more of the Edgar Wright directing style that I just love.
Oh no, totally. Yeah. Like the craftsmanship behind this movie, A plus. I couldn't knock it anywhere. It's the actual writing. It's a lot of the dialogue. And it was one of those things.
I think it's a lot of the visuals, the visual storytelling in this.
It was the weak part?
Well, no, it was a great. Was
oh,
a
no,
great
no, part. I think yeah. so. I think, but I'm saying, like, the actual story and, like, a lot of the dialogue in this movie were very poor compared to.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, something that came to me is, like, I really like Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, Ant-Man. And the things I like about those movies, like, I guess it just hit me that. I think what I like about those movies is not so much Edgar Wright, but Edgar Wright's combination with the actors who are in there, who are helping out. Like,
was it Simon Pegg?
Yeah, like Simon Pegg does a lot of the writing for those movies.
Oh,
right?
Does he? Okay.
And it's just like, that makes so much more sense. That's why the dialogue's sharper. That's why things are funnier.
Okay.
In Ant-Man, that's Marvel Studios with Edgar Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is just Edgar Wright, and it's easier to see where his strengths and his weaknesses are.
Okay.
And definitely the visuals and the soundtrack and blending that is great, but it's almost like he wanted to tell the story and he showed it to his wife, and his wife was like, but honey, I want a happy ending. Why can't he be good?
Maybe.
Or like he showed it to his daughter and she's like, how come he has to be a bad guy, Dad? And it's like, okay, fine.
Or like, it would have been cool if, like, say even without the love story, and you wanted to keep Baby as this kind of good character who's just caught up in it.
Yeah.
Like, you could still have that story.
Yeah, for
and, sure. And it's more of a story about him escaping that life rather than trying to find love.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I never thought about, like, the Simon Pegg cameo type of thing. Because Simon Pegg is the writer for a lot of Edgar Wright movies.
Yeah.
Right? And if the one that, like, what's the one that Simon Pegg, it's like Scott Pilgrim isn't written by Simon Pegg, but that was already a comic that had its own style.
Yeah, that was an adaptation, right?
So,
yeah.
That just so happened to fit his style.
Yeah, I always feel like Edgar Wright is at his best when he's paired up with someone else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like give him a good writer.
Yeah.
And then he can go to town on
it. And he'll finish the rest.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah, there you go.
All right.
That was my week.
I rewatched Scott Pilgrim yesterday.
It's excellent.
Alison Brie is in that movie.
There's a lot when you watch it back now, you're just like, how the fuck did they get all these actors in
here? Dude, Chris Evans is in it.
Aubrey Plaza's in this
one. Aubrey Plaza's in it.
Yeah.
The guy or the girl from Pitch Perfect. Anna Kendrick is in it.
Yeah. Oh, she's the sister?
Yeah.
Yeah. The bitchy sister.
She's great in that.
Yeah, she's so great.
Yeah. There's a lot of fucking fantastic actors in this thing, and watching Chris Evans
be cool guy.
Yo, Chris Evans was just always good.
Yeah,
like, he was never not a good actor. Like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Right. I think the thing I wanted to talk with you about, because I didn't talk about it last week, was that I watched Snowpiercer.
Oh, you watched Snowpiercer.
Yeah. So I watched Snowpiercer.
Did you watch it alone or with a friend?
I watched it with my dad.
Oh, right? What'd you guys think?
So he really liked another movie done by this guy.
Oh, did he?
I forget what it was called. A short word. I forget what it's called. Right. So we watched it together. And I think this movie visually is amazing.
Sure.
Like the style and that they have going on there. And also just the imagination of this world.
Yeah.
Is insane.
Yeah.
Like there's this, like you, I think you mentioned it before, but that scene where they're going around the long bend.
Yeah. And you see, and you can see the
other part of the train.
Yeah.
And they're having the fight through the bend. And I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Right. And it's something that you could, there's a lot of stuff in this movie where it's unique because you could only get it within that setting.
Yeah.
Right. You could only get it within the setting of a train.
Yeah.
I think though the story, when it comes down to it,
is very
tropey. Now, maybe not tropey, but I've seen it before.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't feel entirely new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, the thing was, when he gets, spoilers, when he gets to the front of the train.
Yeah.
When Chris Evans gets to the front of the train.
Yeah.
It turns into BioShock.
Yeah.
And he's basically like, yo, a man chooses, a slave obeys, bitch.
Yeah.
And he's like, you will run the train.
Yeah.
And he's so fucking torn, right? Yeah. Like, he's been living in, like, pretty much slavery in the back of this train all of his life.
Yep.
And now when he's, like, face to face with the ultimate evil, and he knows, like, shit's fucked up on this train.
Yeah.
He's still there contemplating, like, maybe I will let these kids be train parts. Right, and so that part I didn't really get. Like, I got why, story wise, it would do it, but for his character, like, he had such vitriol for that the conductor, for the head.
Yeah, but don't you think? But like, I'm not saying can you relate to that, but like, that's all he knows, right? Like, that thick conductor is evil, bad man, and I gotta stop him.
Mm-hmm.
But then he gets there, and it's like, well, this is the truth.
It is, okay, it's the truth, but the conductor in no way tells him that he's not a bad dude.
Yeah.
Like, every single word that comes out of his mouth is like, yeah, I'm a bad dude. Like, check out all these bad dude things I got. And also, I got this bad chick over here. She steals kids. It's fucking dope, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I could steal kids. Huh. And he's kind of, like, this weird contemplation of, like, should I turn into what I hate? Like,
well, I think it's the idea that, like, well, what does he do next? He kills him, and then what?
Yeah, that's where the other part of that movie comes in.
Yeah,
I forget his name. Who's the actor? The drug addict with his daughter.
Oh, I can't remember his name. Yeah. But the Japanese dude.
Yeah, yeah. That couple, that was a really cool character combination. Yeah. Just like the security expert.
Yeah.
Who knows everything about the train, but he's just fucking high out of his mind at all times, right? Yeah, and I liked the whole idea that, hey, they made this chemical and shit's fucked, but yo, there's... Maybe we can blow up the door. Like, I want to risk all of humanity to just see if we can get off this train. And they could, right?
Yeah.
And that's where that movie ends, is just like the daughter and the one kid who was from the beginning of the movie who got taken. And like, I'm like, where the fuck are you two going? Like,
so that's the very end of the movie is where I was just like, well, now what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, you're walking away from the train, but every single person is on the world is on that train.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, they showed life, and they're walking out there, and they're not immediately freezing.
Yeah.
So it's getting warmer, and I think that's signs of warmth coming. But still, it's like, well,
what are you going to do, procreate with a kid?
Yeah. It's like, huh? I don't know. At that part, I was just like, well, maybe not the entire humanity is on this train. Maybe there's people in hiding somewhere.
Oh, yeah, maybe. There's a good, like makes you wonder.
Yeah. Like, what's out there?
Yeah.
The X-Files.
So I thought Snowpiercer was a good movie. Yeah. There was a couple things where I'm just like, okay, this is stretching it, but for a movie about a perpetual energy train, like, I don't...
Yeah, it's like, well, what else?
Yeah, that's probably not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of got to stretch that logic to the extremes.
Yeah. I thought the movie does a really good job at, what are you calling? making sure you don't get lost, like your orientation on the train.
Yeah.
Like, you always know which way is forward, know which way is backwards.
I also like it when that the character does have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Visually, they do make him choose left, right, like forward, backwards, right?
Oh, you're talking about...
like those decisions.
Okay, yeah.
But the thing is, they make those decisions just super fucked.
Yeah.
Right? The first one...
with his friend?
With his friend.
Oh my god! I thought he was gonna go back!
Yeah, do you go back for him? Or do you push forward for what you've been believing in so much? And yo, hot damn!
He pushes forward!
He pushes forward! And then you learn about, like, what happened.
Yeah, when you learn about that his best friend's, like, origin story.
And then he also left him there, and you're like, shit.
And it's just like, oh my, you're awful, Chris Evans!
Yeah, so that's the thing. That's where I got confused with, like, you just made this whole elaborate backstory.
Yeah.
And then when you met the person who made you almost eat your best friend.
Yeah.
You're just like, maybe I will be that person. Right?
I think it has... See, at that point I was like, well, maybe it's just so much that, like, when he sacrificed his friend, he realized that he wasn't that.
Oh, good. He is the monster?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know? And, like, this whole journey has been more like he's moving forward and he's leaving people behind for his own selfish goals. And okay. He's gone to the front and he's by himself.
Yeah, because by the time he's at the front, yeah, he is alone.
Yeah, and like for all intents and purposes. No one's going to be none the wiser, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
What'd your dad think?
My dad liked it. He thought it was cool. He thought his other movie was better. Yeah. I just really want to fucking remember what that movie was because I don't remember what it was.
Okay.
So, yeah, Snowpiercer was good. Cool. I liked it. There was also, I played a board game. The thing is, I can't remember if I talked about it on the show or not. It's called Time Stories.
No,
you don't remember nothing. Okay, so I played Time Stories, and Time Stories is a board game that is meant to be. You can only beat it once before you know all the answers.
Okay.
But the thing is that you're never gonna figure out what to do on your first playthrough. And it is meant to be played in multiple playthroughs. So you're a series of explorers, a series of time explorers. And you're in the far-flung future. You get into these pods and it sends your consciousness back in time. And what you have to do is like stop this weird time anomaly. There's something going on within this set map. And you have to figure out what's wrong, like collect all the things and defeat whatever is causing the time anomaly. The thing is, though, is that you only have a limited amount of turns to figure it out.
Okay.
And these things are so elaborate that once you reach the end of your time, you get pulled out of your consciousness back to your human form or back to your regular form, right? And you have to restart. There are certain things you can take back with you into your second run that is like previous knowledge. But there are other things that are like physical items that because you restarted the simulation, you have to start over again.
Ooh.
Right? So the whole game is about playing it, discovering, taking what you've learned, restarting, getting further.
Mm.
Right? And it's actually really fun. They have I think one of the coolest things about this game is not part of the game itself, but part of the box that it's stored in. Is that the box is set up and has certain things in a way where you can save your progress.
Oh.
So if you have to stop playing in the middle of a session, you can put certain tabs and beads in certain spots so that that's your save state for when you restart again. And you know, like, oh, how many time turns did we have left? We had this many. Which one of these cards did we have left? Cool. We had these cards. It was pretty cool. It's like a cool, like, board game engineering thing.
Hmm.
But the story's it's hard, man. So the whole thing is when you're in a room, right, as a group.
Yeah.
And each room has different places you can check out. But you can only check them out like either one by one for like once each turn. And say there's four places you can check out. There's the north part of the room, the south part of the room, the east part of the room, the west part of the room. Right? Very simplistic version. If I go to explore the north side of the room, and you go to explore the south side of the room, only I can look at the north card. And I can tell you what I know, but you can never look at this card, right? So it's going based on my interpretation of what is happening there, right? And also, there are certain cards where it's like, okay, this person, like, say, is chained to a bed, and he says he has information. When you flip it and you're reading it, it's like you are now in a struggle with this person. This person's trying to fuck you up. But the thing is that you can't tell anybody because you're in your own little section exploring it by yourself. The other people in this area are technically far enough away to where you would be alone. So you have to alone, like, show the game master and then just start rolling dice and doing stuff and trying to get out of your struggle by yourself. Then if you escape it and you reconvene and to try and pick different places, then you can be like, don't go here. This guy is going to mess you up and, like, do different stuff. So it's about discovery and sharing knowledge and then using that knowledge with each other and then also in conjunction with past playthroughs. It's really cool. I really like it.
It sounds like it deals a lot of mind games.
It does. There's a lot of mind games. And also just like a lot of branching paths. Like we found like 5 different ways into the same area. But like obviously one of those ways is the most time optimal.
Oh, of course.
Right? Yeah. So then you're like, okay, we don't take route B because we want to take route E. Because route E gets us there in 2 turns when route B gets us there in 5 turns.
Yeah.
Right? And it's all about managing your time and doing all that kind of stuff. It's super fun. I really liked it. I think the game is kind of expensive. I think like just the starter pack is like $80.
Oh my God.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think I was looking at, it might have been like an Amazon seller. So maybe they were selling it for more, but it's really cool. I really liked it.
You know.
And then the last thing I did is that I started watching one of the new shows in the new anime season.
Is it Knights of Magic?
No.
Oh, what is it?
It is Kakegurui. I think I talked about the manga on here.
Oh,
with the gambling addiction.
Yeah, yeah, at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the manga. Like
shocked.
What? No way. They faithfully recreate what is going on in that manga. Down to certain scenes are the same as panels in the show, and the whole story arc is the same. It's just really nice to see this kind of a show animated, because even in the manga, it's very stylized. Every villain or main character, except for like the narrator, the boy character who's like kind of your narrator, they're all kind of fucked in the head in a certain way that they come through. It comes through in facial expressions in the manga. And they bring that into the anime. But the thing is like when you get a score, like you get a music, you get the animation of them making super fucked up faces. Like, for example, there's one fight between this one girl. It's a card game. They're playing double deck memory.
Mm-hmm.
So if you flip over a 6 of spades and then you flip over another 6 of spades, you get a point. You go again. Mm. But if you flip over a 6 of hearts and a 6 of spades, it doesn't count.
Mm.
Right, and they gamble based off that. But one of the main villain that she's facing, she eventually ups the ante in their second game, and she's like, "Well, instead of money, because you can't play me for money again, how about if you lose, I collect your nails?
Ooh.
Like, I just peel the nails off your fucking hands,
oh.
Right?" But as she's doing it, she has like this sick, twisted face going on, right? And with the anime, like the voice actress is also just like getting all kind of fucked up and psychopathic. Seeing that all played out in motion is really cool.
Right.
It's very stylish, I'll say. I also want to watch Hajimete no Gal. I thought when I read the description, it sounded like a really funny like rom-com type of thing.
Mm.
It's about a boy who asks out a girl. But the thing is like the boy's like super, he's unpopular, he's a loser or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. But then he's like, screw it. You know what? I'm just going to confess myself to the girl that I think is the most, who also happens to be like one of the most popular girls in school.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that she says yes.
Oh.
And now he's like, shit. Now I'm in a relationship with a really popular girl. Like, what do I do?
Okay.
Right. It's like a completely different world than what I'm used to. She's into fashion and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when I read it, I was like, this is really cute. And then I saw like the teaser for it. I'm like, this is anime garbage. Like all the girls are just like huge cleavage, big tits. Yeah. Just like, I'm like, man. So hopefully that show will have some sort of substance to it.
Nope.
But I kind of want to check that out based on the description.
I thought you were talking about the one where it's, I think it's a boy. He joins the gaming club in his high school.
Oh, I want to watch that one too.
Yeah, and yeah. It's just stories of people falling in love there.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is that more romance? Because I know there's...
It's just a slice of life.
There's
comedy,
a,
drama.
There's a slice of life one about an anime club. Gakushin? No.
I don't know. I haven't looked yet.
What's it called? No, not this season. It's old.
Oh.
Genshiken.
Genshiken, yeah. Yeah,
Genshiken was kind of like that. Yeah. And I really like that show.
Okay.
So. There's not much of this season that I was looking at where I was just like, oh, maybe I should watch this. Someone tried to get me to watch Ero Manga Sensei.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I looked at it and I'm like, nah. Because it was made by the guy who made How Is It That My Little Sister Is This Cute?
Yeah.
And I was like, that was trash. I watched like two episodes of that and that was actual garbage.
Yeah.
And then apparently he's like, no, they're like, no, this one's good now. Like, I don't trust you.
I've heard good things about it, but I still don't know. I don't know. I'm still trying to get through my backlog.
How are you? Your to be watch list?
I gotta get to Yuri on Ice.
Yuri on Ice.
I watched the other Re shows.
Oh, did you? ReZero?
Watch ReZero, Re Life.
Oh, so you're caught up on the Re lore.
Yeah, but except for Yuri on Ice.
Okay, alright. So yeah, that was my week was pretty tame. I also did play a Steam game I bought on the Steam sale called Ultimate Chicken Horse.
Sounds dumb.
It's a 4-player competitive platformer.
Sounds dumb.
So you start at one goal, or you start at the start line, and there's a finish line, and you have to make it to the end.
Sure.
But the thing is, every single time you finish a round, if you make it, you get points. If you don't make it, you don't get points. Every time you finish a round, a list of items appears. And they're obstacles.
Yeah.
So then everyone quickly picks the obstacle they want, and they get to place it anywhere in the map.
Yeah.
And then you make like a super fucked obstacle course
for
everybody else, but also they're making it for you.
Yeah.
And then it is very easy to make levels unbeatable. So in that case, and like say for example, someone made the level like super fucked and nobody can beat it. One of the items will be a bomb, and you can take that bomb and then put it over an area, and it'll destroy any items within that area.
Okay.
Right? So you can never make, like, a game that never ends.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fun. It's, like, a really good party game. A good 4-player party game.
Huh.
I really liked it.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's been the new stuff of my week.
Awesome. Let's round it out. We watched 2 episodes of Kamen Rider X-Aid.
Yeah.
First episode is the reveal of... stuff.
What?
I don't know
where to start. He gets the Ultra Muteki.
Hyper Muteki. But he gets it in an interesting way.
Dan Kuroda just gives it to him?
He gives it to him, but he can't use it.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
So actually M comes up with this plan. He says, Paradox, let's work together. Hide inside this driver, and I'll shove this driver onto Kronos, and you can stick in his driver, so when he stops time, you can pop out and
be like, hey!
And fuck him up. So they proceed with this plan. However, in the middle of the fight, M's like, I know. What does he say? He says something like, I need you to be able to use Hyper Muteki.
Okay.
And so he shoves he shoves Paradox inside of himself.
Yeah, and so he reinfects himself with the virus.
Yeah, and then Laser gets the Hyper Muteki shot from Kronos or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, haha, tricked you, I was always good.
Yeah. What was it? It turns out the big secret where it was like mind blowing was please play along with my lie or whatever or my acting.
Yeah.
And it's like, haha, I'm actually good. I'm the best. I'm so cool.
Yeah. And we get Hyper Muteki, which is invincibility infinite mode.
Yeah, like they keep amping up the powers in this way, like so first off, you see Kronos. I'm like, how the fuck do you beat someone who stops time?
Yeah.
And now you get this thing, and I'm like, how do you beat Mario when he's always in star mode?
Yeah.
Like,
and it's like, you can't.
You can't.
And that's what proceeds to happen.
Yeah, so Kronos gets the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
He was setting up like a tournament to be like, come beat Kronos because secretly I'm going to kill you all because when people die, your souls... Actually, like you dying actually makes more people want to play because they want to save their friends and family.
Yeah.
Right.
Something like that.
Anyways, but he escapes, and then next episode happens.
Yes.
Kronos devises this plan where he has Brave.
Brave. Hito.
He's like, Brave, listen, the only reason M can turn into Hyper Muteki is because you had to reinfect himself with Paradox.
Kill Paradox. Just go kill Paradox.
You kill Paradox, M's useless.
And I'll give you back your girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Main incentive. And so he proceeds with that. And
he tries to kill Paradox.
But somewhere in the fight, he's fighting Paradox. Snipe comes to fight Graphite.
Yes.
And Graphite wrecks Snipe.
Yeah, also the thing was the Snipe was kind of rooting for Hero in this fight, too. He's like, I want you, like, finish off Paradox because I want you to get your girlfriend back. Like, this is, if he's true to his word, like, do it, right?
Yeah.
But then there's also the thing of, like, they really never talked to Snipe.
Yeah.
The main crew.
Uh-huh.
So they don't know that if Snipe is, or if Paradox is defeated, they have no way of beating Kronos.
Yeah. And at the same time, Snipe is almost, he kind of wants to atone for his sins.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who let Brave's girlfriend die.
I don't know if he let her die. But
couldn't save her.
Yeah. He considers that he let her die.
Yeah, and she turned into Graphite, and that's why he wants to end Graphite so bad.
Yeah.
But Graphite's like, fuck you, I've been affected already, so I've got, like, level 100 plus.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna wreck your shit. And he proceeds to do so.
He wrecks them first out of Gundam form, out of Kamen Rider form.
Yeah.
And then, I guess it did something that I've never seen in a Kamen Rider show before, which is where someone who was in a powered-up form attacked someone who was just a human.
Yeah.
And it fucking destroyed him.
Yeah.
It was like that scene. Remember the old Hulk movie with the guy who was in Fight Club?
Yeah.
And the Hulk kicks that human.
Yeah.
And it goes into the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like that. Like he.
Oh yeah.
He goes flying,
and he breaks all his bones.
Yeah. He goes flying like a million feet.
Yeah.
And then just Crash starts puking up blood and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of all the internal bleeding.
Yeah.
And then the show sadly comes to an end, or the episode comes to an end, and it ends on, like, this ambiguous, Taiga's like, stop trying to call for help, I know my body, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And he, like, turns over and dies.
Yeah.
Or appears to die.
Appears to die. Because the next episode preview.
Yeah, is all about him being, like, it seems to be setting up, will Brave, or Hero, become good again to save Snipe's life, or will he continue on and let him die?
The one thing I was wondering is that if this show is going to be, I think the theory I had was that every one of the interns' teammates will die, but they'll be like digitized dead.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
And then when they die, quote unquote, he'll need to have the power of himself so that he's a true doctor and not an intern anymore.
Oh wow!
And then when he beats Kronos, he can save all of his friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how he gets his PhD?
Yeah, that's how he gets his doctorate.
Oh, okay. Great.
By saving the world.
Great. Oh, man, if I could get one like that. Damn.
Still wouldn't have it.
Yeah. Yeah, so fun stuff, I guess. We got to see Brave's new form.
Yep.
Tattle Legacy.
I thought Tattle Legacy was kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
It was just a set of white knight armor on top of his level 1.
Yeah, so it's like if Batman...
Or level 2, technically. Yeah.
It's like if Batman got a new cowl and cape but in white, but he kept the gray undersuit underneath.
Yeah.
And it was like, whatever.
It's like, he put an overshirt on.
he basically did the Final Fantasy IV Cecil thing where he went from Dark Knight to Paladin.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, the Dark Knight costume was cooler.
Because it was a whole unique costume. It wasn't just an attachment.
No, it was an attachment.
Was it? It didn't look like it.
That's because it worked better with its colors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was just an attachment.
Hmm.
So, bit of a bummer there.
Yeah. I was expecting, like, here's a new costume.
Yeah, because it seems like Xaid's the only one who's getting, like, check out my new shit.
Yeah. Well, Snipe? No, Snipe just got a bunch of cannons.
Yeah, he got cannons over him.
Yeah.
Paradox only had the couple forms he had, but Xaid always had something new. Like, remember when we went Xaid has double Mighty Brothers,
double Mighty Brothers,
which are totally brand new suits.
He has
the robot suit, the
dumb robot,
and then he has Hyper Muteki.
Is we didn't touch on this, but
yeah
he's basically Super Saiyan.
He's Super Saiyan 3 Goku. Yeah.
I said that he looks like he's got female Rathalos armor on.
Gold.
Yeah, yeah. But gold female Rathalos armor.
Does. Yeah, it's the face. Yeah, it's definitely the
yeah, yeah, it's the face with the dreads.
Yeah.
Right? I just, again, like, the show keeps going to places where I'm like, how do you beat this?
Yeah.
How do you beat this thing? And then the show, thankfully, like, turns it around. They're like, hey, we beat it by doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we'll see what happens from here. Will Taiga die?
I don't know. Like, maybe. I don't think they would put so much time into the relationship between him
and Nico.
And Nico, if they were just gonna ax him like that, because it was pretty abrupt.
Yeah.
Right. Unless the whole next episode is like this sad send off episode.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think they could kill him off. There's no way.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think the only way they can kill him off is if they make it so, like, oh, he's dead, but he's in the game still. Like,
yeah.
I said, like,
yeah.
And all of his friends die, and then he's like, I'm a true doctor, and the power of friendship will conquer all. And then the spirits of his friends come out of Kronos' driver against Kronos' will. And then he's like, how could you escape? The power of friendship is too strong. You're all my friends.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Kamen Rider XA. That was episodes 36 and 37.
Yeah.
Next week is episode 38, maybe 39. Maybe 39. Yeah, so.
We're getting there.
We're.
Man, it's almost been a year.
Yeah, once the summer's over, it's done.
Damn.
Can you believe it?
No.
Another year has passed.
Gross.
Yeah. Anyways, the year's almost over, but you know what is over?
What?
This podcast.
See ya.
Bye.